God, we are so thankful that we can put our trust in you. And Father, we are thankful that when we put our trust in you, that we are on steadfast rock, that we are on firm foundation, that we can't be shaken, that we can't be rattled, we can't be moved. And Father, I pray that if any of us here today maybe feel rattled, may feel shaken a little bit, may feel a little scared, Father, that they would put their trust fully in you. And Father, whatever might be holding them back from allowing that firm foundation to take root, God, I pray that right now you would strike that fear down, strike that whatever, that anxiety down in Jesus' name, send us straight to the pit of hell where it belongs, Father. When we are your children, God, we know that we can stand firmly on you and with you. So God, we thank you for giving us a firm foundation, something we can be rooted in, something so amazing is your love, Father, that just holds us and roots us, and while rooting us, allows us to grow in you. Father, as we stretch out to you and reach out to you, Father, I pray we would grow in you each and every day, Father. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just nurture us and provide us the nutrients we need to grow greater in you, Father, and that we would boldly stand and boldly move, Father, for you. God, I pray that as we get to spend Sunday together, Father, that you would just stir us up and shake us up, Father, for you, God, that we would be passionate about you and passionate about the things of you, God, that we would be passionate for our neighbors to know you. God, I pray that today we would just be breathe fresh life into, God. And Father, that new sprouts would grow in our lives, God, good sprouts, Father. And Father, as we've been talking about the past few weeks, Father, if there's any of those, that offense that's holding us back, God, I pray that we would shake those shackles free again. God, be with us this morning, Father. Bless this team that's from Esten College, God. Bless them for coming and just bless their words, Father. And God, I pray that they will just have an impact on us, and I pray we can have an impact on them today. God, we love you, and thank you for letting us gather. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. I'm going to invite Brian up, and I'm going to hand him the mic, and I'm going to let him introduce himself as well as the rest of his team. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Pastor Dave, and thanks, worship team. That was awesome. Good morning. I'm happy to be here. We're excited to be here. We're from Esten College. Esten's about like an hour away from Rosetown. Just so you know a bit about me, I'm originally from Regina. I grew up there, went to the college when I was for 4 years. So I got a degree from Esten College in the early 2010s, lived in Turkey for a year, been kind of involved in various ministries, and now this is my second year working at Esten College. I'm director of student ministry, and oftentimes people say, what does that mean? I'm like, I don't really know. No. All that means is I help plan kind of these weekend trips, teach a few classes, and do some other stuff as well. So it's kind of, you know, ever-increasing role. But we're excited to be here. I'm going to get my guys to stand up. Please stand up. If we had enough room, I'd invite you all on stage, but I'll get two of them to come up to share testimonies briefly, but I'll just point at them, and they're going to share their name. They're all in their first year, so you don't need to say that, but their name and where they're from. Yeah, great. So that's the group. All over. You can sit down. Yeah, I should have said not said anything. You guys would just be standing there awkwardly the whole time. They're so obedient. They just listen so well. These guys are awesome. This is our first trip of the year, and obviously with COVID, we do these trips every year, but because of this pandemic that we're in, it's a little harder to kind of navigate. So Pastor Dave, we really appreciate giving the opportunity for us to come and just the Bless Your Youth Group and to be here this morning. So thank you so much. Really appreciate it. But I'm going to invite Anna to come up. What's that? Please come up. And she's going to share a bit about her story. and stuff that she's been learning from at the college.
Hello, everybody. I'm Anna Hein. I have a last name, too. Hein. Oh. Hein, yes. I'm going to tell you a little bit of how I got to the college. I don't really know. It's kind of a blur now, but I was actually planning to go to an entirely different college, one that had drama. Well, more drama, like an actual drama program instead of just teenagers, being dramatic. And but all of a sudden, at 12:30 at night, I found myself filling out an application for Reston College, and I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I trusted God to lead the way. And I show up at the college, and everyone keeps talking about how they feel this year is going to be filled with, like, revival, and, like, all of the students are going to be, like, crazy ministry people and stuff. And I'm like, oh, what did I sign up for? And I have always struggled with trusting people. So when we had to do a lot of exercises in which we had to be open and share with everyone, I was like, no, thank you. I will just hide in a corner. But God really lay on my heart to open up to a few people. Like, I would walk past them, and he'd be like, them, go, now. And I'd be like, oh, okay. So yes, a lot of trust building, and it has been an amazing experience for me to grow in trust and faith and also trust in God, because I have trust issues, as I stated earlier. And I believe this year is going to be really foundational for my faith, and I'm just so excited to figure out what God has for me. And for everybody else.
Awesome, thanks.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks so much, Anna. Appreciate it. Max, come on down.
All right, I'm going to start out my three-point sermon now. Yes, I'm Max. I was kind of always destined to go to Esten. I have two older brothers, one younger brother. Both my parents went to Esten. I think they met and started dating in Esten. Both my older brothers went to Esten. And so naturally, being a younger brother, I just want to do everything that they do. And I'm here. But where was I going with this? Oh, I had so many jokes. Brian asked me, or asked, he, in the car, he was like, yeah, we're gonna get Max and Anna to speak, and I'm like, okay, cool, can it be to youth instead, because I feel like I'm smarter around them. but God has just been showing to me a lot this year. I always grew up in a Christian home. My dad's the dean at the college, and my mom's a librarian. And so I've just always grown up in faith, and I've been going to Esten College all my life. I wasn't always there. I was in Alberta before. I've just kind of always felt like I've been a Christian and that I've walked the walk. But I just want to encourage you guys that no matter how long you've been in your faith, that Jesus just is always wanting to push you further. It's just, he's not content with where you're content, where he's just like, oh, let's just go a little further. So this year has just been, I've always felt like, hey, I'm a good Christian. I've been going, and it's just like, he's just pushed me a lot further this year than I've ever been before. I just want to say that encouraging word that he's always wanting to push you further. That is my bit.
Thanks, Max. Thanks, guys. All these guys are outstanding. I could get them all to come up here and just share. But please talk to them afterwards. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this church, and we thank you so much for Rosetown. God, we thank you for everything that you've been doing in this community. Lord, we thank you that the best is still to come. Jesus, we thank you, God, for your spirit, and we thank you that you're here today, and we just give you this whole rest of service, and just bless everyone who's here and who's watching online today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Growing up, I was, even at a young age, I was always kind of nostalgic and slightly dramatic. And around the age of eight, I thought, wow, I'm really no longer a child, but I'm a teenager, and so I'm practically a man now. And I was so nostalgic and so dramatic that I thought, wow, I really needed to make the most of my last few years as a child before I embrace being a man. I should just go to the park and have fun. And so I went to the park, and this park, my brother and I and our friends would go to. We'd play grounders. We'd do all these games that you just do at a park. And I look at the slide. I'm like, oh, man, remember the slide, how good it was when you were a kid to go down that. And I was like, oh, man, look at this rock climbing wall. And look at this. We played grounders in there. Oh, that's where my brother pushed me off, and I got stitches. And remember this, and, you know, going. And then I got to the swing set, and I think most kids like the swing set, right? Think so? Yeah. And I'm like, man, it'd be really great just to get a couple last swings on the swing set before I can anymore because I'm basically an adult. And when I got there, I realized that there actually the two swing sets were broken. However, there was a baby swing set that was still operational. And I looked at it, and I looked at my legs. And I looked at it, and I thought, yeah, I think I'm small enough that I could fit in here. And so I went over. I looked around to make sure there's no one in the park. I looked around, and I put in my left leg, and I slowly slid my left leg in. I could feel the circulation being cut off. Now, not being a man, but being a child, I thought, well, we'll just keep pushing through, and we'll be okay. It's like guys, when they're choking on food, it's like, hey, I'll just keep eating, and then, you know, I'll force it down. This is how guys think. And I'm like, well, if I just put my right leg in, I'll be okay. And as soon as I put my right leg in, it's like this Venus flytrap closed around the lower half of my body. And I could feel the blood not making its way down to my legs. And people were like nodding, like, yes, of course, you're an idiot. Why would you do this? And I began to frantically try to do everything I can to angle my body and try to get out of there. And people would walk by, and I'd stop, and I'd just sit there swinging. And then eventually, I was so nervous and so like, I'm going to be stuck here. I'm going to die in this park today. Again, slightly dramatic. I put myself on my back with my legs straight up in the air, frantically just pushing as much as I can, trying to get out of this baby seat that's only for ages like 0 to maybe 2 years old. And I remember this guy walked by with his dog, and I didn't know what to do, so I just casually put my hands behind my head. And I started the whistle. And this guy probably looked at me and thought, I don't want anything to do with this. I'm just going to ignore this. I'm going to keep walking. And then after about 15 minutes of being stuck in this baby seat, I eventually got it off my legs. And I went home and I took off my pants and I had this purple ring around both my legs that was there for like the next week. And the good news is I never went to another baby seat for the rest of my life. Nor do I plan to, actually. It's off my list. Check, done. However, when I do think of that story, I do think of the feeling of being stuck in something. The feeling of being trapped in something, being held, being held captive by something, if I could use language like that. And what's neat about this morning is actually the first song that you guys sang. I was like reading the words, and I don't think I've ever heard that song before, and I was thinking, like, wow, this is really kind of like the sermon that's on my heart kind of wrapped up in the first song that we're singing, which is cool, and that's always a good sign. You're like, okay, God, good. I feel like I'm on the right track. But this morning, I want to talk about freedom and what freedom means, and oftentimes in our Western world, we kind of associate words like love and hope and joy and freedom to kind of how the world defines them. And we know that Jesus is true love. Like, he's our perfect definition of love, Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus is hope. We know that Jesus is truth. We know that Jesus is also freedom. That's just who he is. That's a part of his heart. And we know it says in John 8, verse 36, now, this is Jesus talking, so who the Son sets free is free indeed. Not just a little free, not just slightly free. You are free indeed. You're completely free. And we know that Jesus' plan is to set us free from bondage. And in our group, in our class that we're in, we've been going through Ephesians. And so I'm not much of like a Greek or Hebrew scholar, which is the original language that the Bible's written in. But I realized this summer that the word for freedom in the Greek means to be like, have the bondage ripped off you and you're pushed in kind of into complete freedom. So freedom isn't just pointing out like, hey, you have bondage in your life. Hey, you got something wrong with your heart. It's Jesus having a plan, and he's the answer. You know, he is the plan. I love that throughout scripture, like God will bring up these reoccurring themes through people's stories and, excuse me, through different circumstances. In Joshua 21, verse 43, verse 45, it says this. And so that basically, the story of the Israelites being set free from Egypt to eventually get to the promised land is just an example of God's plan for us. It's Jesus' plan. It's him. Jesus is the answer. And so in Joshua 21, verse 43, verse 45, it says this. So this is Joshua talking to the Israelites. Moses at this point has passed away, and now they're in the promised land. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of the enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. I love that last line. Not one of God's promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Every single one was fulfilled. Imagine how the Israelites felt in Egypt. I know it's probably somewhat hard for us since it's hard to put ourselves in those shoes, but just imagine just being, you knew freedom and all of a sudden now you're in this land of slavery. You're held captive. You have no rights. You have no choices. You're just demanded to work day in and day out. And even when you do work, you're probably beaten for who you are. You're probably picked on. And all of a sudden, after years of praying, years of crying out, God answers your prayer. He sends Moses, and Moses reluctantly goes. He doesn't really want to go, but he goes. And along the way, they're led by his spirit through the wilderness. Amazing stories happen, you know, God splitting the Red Sea, you know, manna coming from heaven, you know, a pillar of fire leading them by night. And the people make mistakes along the way, yet God's word never fails. His promises are still true. His promises are fulfilled at the end of this story. But freedom isn't just, the part of freedom wasn't just to get to the wilderness, it was to get to the promised land. And so often I feel like in our faith, in our world, it's almost like, yeah, God, I've been set free from this, but I'm still stuck in the wilderness. And Jesus is saying to us, that's not my plan. I'm the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. I'm here to set you free. I remember last year I was praying about this and about a few other things, and I felt like the Lord said this to me. He said, Brian, my plan isn't just to repair your heart. It's to give you a new one. It's to give you the heart I always intended to give you. And I know life can be messy. I know being a human, we're just messy people. We make mistakes. Even the best people with the best intentions who love Jesus make mistakes. We all do. But his plan is to give you a new heart. His plan isn't the wilderness. His plan is the promised land. And Jesus is our promised land. He's the promised land for the whole world. Not just the Jews, not just the Gentiles, but everybody. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. It says this in John 10, verse 10. This is Jesus talking again. The thief comes only to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life, and life to the full. This is Jesus talking about Satan at the beginning. And he's talking about himself afterwards. Now, when Jesus came, he's answering all these prophecies. He's doing amazing miracles. He's amazing. Yeah, he's teaching. And there's just a multitude of stories. But then eventually, Jesus came, does what he came to do. He dies on the cross. He dies for his sin. And then 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And Jesus, he's now seated with the Father. And he knew this. So in the end of John, he's basically from John like 14, I believe it's like the John 17, he's like talking to disciples basically, one-on-one. He's telling them kind of the last commands he has for them before he has to go and die on the cross. And he basically says this, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He says, I gotta go. That's not proper English. I have to go and be with the Father, but I'm gonna give you my spirit in my place, basically. I'm gonna be seated right next to God the Father, but in my place, I'm gonna give you my spirit. I'm gonna give you my presence so that I will always be with you. And it says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, now where the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, complete freedom, free indeed. And when you are filled of His Spirit, you get all the fruit of the Spirit, all the fruit of the Spirit. That's love, that's joy, that's peace, that's patience, that's kindness, that's goodness, that's faithfulness, that's gentleness, and self-control. You get His very best. Because back in the day, back when Jesus was doing His ministry, you had to go to the temple to know His Spirit, to even get a glimpse at His glory, to even get a glimpse at His heart. You had to go and be in His presence. That was only for a select few. But Jesus, he would just go above and beyond what He had to do. He doesn't have to give us His Spirit. What He did on the cross really is, in hindsight, enough for us that He would die on the cross because He loves us and He'd give us His grace. But He's like, no, I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to make sure that you are never alone. I'm going to make sure that the freedom that I preached about, the life that I promise, would be known in your heart completely and fully. That I would make my home in your heart. That all those promises that I've spoken over you, that you would know me. That you would know me completely. That you'd be mini temples, basically, walking among the earth. And I love that that's still true for today. That even at the college, and the college is, you know, we're 45 people, not including staff. Like, we're a fairly small college. But we just have this rich history of God showing up, of Him pouring out His Spirit, of people crying out and God answering those cries, just like He did with the Israelites. Of people coming from all different walks of life, sometimes 18, 19, sometimes older, sometimes 40. And Jesus meeting them and setting them free. I'm not just repairing the hearts, but giving them new ones. Myself included. I include myself in that category. And I love that when we share testimonies, that Jesus, basically when you share testimonies, us saying, God, do it again. Do it again. Whenever you hear a testimony, I told these guys this, I think this week. Whenever you hear a testimony, you can say, God, I want to see that in my life. It's permission. It's basically a green light to say, yeah, God, I want that. I want that for me. I love that Friday night, you know, we just got the opportunity to pray for youth. And we had a few opportunities to see, what was a few of them? I know I'm putting you guys on the spot. Alyssa, what was a few things that happened on Friday? We had some shoulder pain that was healed, back pain that was healed. Sometimes in life you have one leg shorter than the other. We saw a few legs grow out. Just a multitude of different things. And we're ordinary people. We're regular people, but whenever you step out in obedience, Jesus always shows up. And He came to bring freedom, be it freedom from pain, physical pain, or freedom in your heart. And I love that in Acts, it's just a multitude of just different stories of the early church, of God showing up, of Him pouring out His Spirit. And that's how it starts, you know, in Acts 2, it's the day of Pentecost, which I'm sure lots of you guys here at home would be familiar with. But in Acts 16, verse 16 to 40, there's a story that I love to share. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Colston, so you bring your Bible? Yes, yeah, some of them are giving me awkward faces. I'll talk to you on the car ride home. just kidding. But Acts 16, verse 16 to 40. So this is about Paul and Silas. We'll kind of hop around in this story a little bit. But in this story, at the beginning, Paul and Silas in this town, and there's this woman who's filled with this demonic spirit, and she basically has this business of fortune telling. And I kind of find it funny because she kind of annoys Paul because he's following Paul around and he's saying, "This is the man who does this, and this is the man who does that." And I could just imagine Paul being slightly grumpy and rebuking the spirit, and all of a sudden, the spirit's gone, and now this business is over, and they get in trouble because of it. I love imagining people who are just godly people being kind of grumpy. Like, I love to imagine Jesus when He's woken up in the story of Him on the boat being slightly grumpy, like not being a morning person, even though I'm sure Jesus was, being like, what? Like, and the disciples are freaking out as the storm's going around. Yes, but in verse 22, it says this. So this is after what I mentioned previous happened. In verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell, fastened their feet in the stocks. So let's just pause there for a second. So they're faced this consequence of upsetting this woman's business. And they're beaten by this crowd, encouraged by the leadership in this town to be flogged and beaten and stripped of their clothes. And this, on anyone's normal day, is a terrible day. Can we agree on that? This is a bad day. This is, for sure, for anyone, this is not a good day. And not only that, they are taken to the inner part of the jail, and they are fastened, it says. And for anyone normally, in this circumstance, it's like, well, my life is over, right? Either I'm going to be stuck in jail for the rest of my life, or I'm going to be executed for my faith, which is the common thing back then. So this is not a good day. But Jesus came to set us free. Not just free of our surroundings, but free in our heart. That we may know his love and his joy and his peace and all the fruit of the Spirit. That we may be completely free. That we may know Jesus and his promises in our heart. And this is Paul and Silas. We don't know a lot about Silas, but we know Paul was Saul. Paul was a religious teacher. He was a Pharisee, and he was persecuting Christians. All of a sudden, Jesus met him and turned his life upside down. Gave him a new heart. So in verse 25, it says this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Let's pause there for a second. Paul and Silas are having a terrible day. This is not ideal. And yet, because they know Jesus in their heart, because they've been set free, doesn't matter what's going on around them, doesn't matter the circumstances, be it in a jail or whatever else, they're worshiping Jesus. They're singing hymns to him. Their life is on, if you just look at it, step back, like, your life is over, like, this is the end, and yet they're still worshiping Jesus because of who he is, because they know him in his heart and his spirit. And the foundations of the prison are shaken and removed. I love this story. I love the imagery of this story. And I know sometimes I could stub my toe and I'd just be in a bad mood for the rest of the day. Can I get an amen? Yes, I know. But when we meet Jesus, when we meet his presence, when he makes his home in us, everything changes. Everything changes. Growing up, these guys know the story. My parents got divorced when I was 12 years old, and that can be a messy thing for anybody. And unfortunately, that's just a common thing in Canada now, is that homes are broken in some way or parents are divorced. And I just had so much anger in my heart toward my mom and towards my dad and towards myself. And oftentimes, you just blame yourself in those situations. And I just had a real anger issue. Like, I was just an angry, angry teenager. And then just one evening at camp, you know, I just, Jesus met me and he changed my life. And I don't know if I come across as angry, hopefully not. But Jesus changed my heart because he didn't just want to repair it. He gave me a new heart. And he does that through his heart for us. He does it through his spirit, through us. So let's keep reading in verse 27. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word to the Lord, to him and all of this in his house. Imagine this. You This guy is about to end his life. This guy was holding you captive. He might have mistreated you. We don't know, but he might have mistreated them. And yet, Paul says, wait, we're right here. You're prisoners. We're right here. Okay? We're right here. And this guy gives his heart to the Lord and his whole household is saved. I love that. I love that despite this guy is their enemy. He might not even be that good of a guy. We don't know. But Paul isn't concerned about his well-being or Silas. They're not thinking, you're the enemy and we're the good guys. It's like, hey, we're right here. Let me tell you about Jesus. Because their hearts were set free. Because they had the Spirit of Christ living inside them. Because they knew all that God had to offer. Because they weren't in the wilderness still. They were in, they knew the promised land. They knew Jesus in their hearts. And don't we want that for ourselves? It's not just about being nice or being good people. It's about being transformed by His Spirit. It's about being on fire for Him. It's about no matter what's going around, no matter what circumstances, being stuck in a jail or a pandemic going on, that we would always show people His love and His kindness and His goodness. That we always preach about His freedom, no matter what. One last story. And then we'll pray. I love church history, and I love reading about it. Again, because anytime you hear a story, it's like, God, I want to see that for my life. Jesus, do it again. And I love just reading about different moves of the Spirit. And a couple years ago, when I was still a student at Esten College, I took a class on revival history. And revival is just a fancy word for God just pouring out His Spirit and kind of transforming a land. And I read about this revival called the Hebridean Revival. And so the Hebrideans, if you don't know who they are, they're about like a series of islands kind of in Scotland, kind of the northwest part of the country. So fairly isolated. But after the war, so this is about 1948 to 1950, there was just nobody going to church. You know, people were drinking. People were kind of living their lives. But there was no one going to church, especially there was no young people going to church. And so there was these two sisters who at this point were in their mid to late 70s, called the Smith sisters. And one of them was blind, basically, and one of them was so stricken of arthritis that she could hardly move. So they couldn't go to church, so they would just pray in their home, their little cottage of a home. And they would pray again and again and again. They would just, because they looked out on their land, they looked out on their country, they looked out on their town, and they just thought, man, we just need a move of the Spirit. People need to be set free. People need to know Jesus. And so one night they're praying, and God said this to one of them. He said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and I will flood the dry ground. And so they heard this, and they just started praying more. And they kept praying and they praying. And they didn't give up when it was hard. And I'm sure there was some times in their praying where it's hard, you're tired, and maybe it's even kind of boring. We've all been there. But they kept pressing in because they looked at the need in the land. They says, this land needs to be set free. It needs a move of the Spirit. And so eventually what happened is that God started to speak to other people. And there's this other kind of younger pastor. He's probably in his 30s. Who had this dream, and he had this dream of young people coming and filling the church and just there being basically a move of the Spirit. And he knew that these two sisters were praying and nonstop, basically. And so he went to this house, and he knocked on the door, and they invited him in, and he told them this dream, and he's like, what? I don't know what to do. I just started this job. Like, tell me what to do. And so one of them looked at this pastor, and he says, well, you should pray, man. And so he started gathering all these other pastors just to pray. And so the sister said, hey, we'll pray from 8 o'clock Tuesday evening to 3 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday evening and Friday. And so they started praying, and this pastor started gathering other pastors on the island to pray. And basically one night, all these pastors together, and he got together, and this one pastor stood up and saying, listen, I forget what psalm it was. I think it was Psalm 27, but He says, listen, our hands clean, our hearts pure. I think we need to repent. And repent is just a fancy word for just turning back to God. And so he repented. And as soon as he did that, the Spirit of God just fell in that place. And all of a sudden, for the next 3 years, there's this move of the Spirit that has transformed those islands and parts of Scotland to this day. It's a move of the Spirit where people who were struggling with alcoholism were set free. And it's really hard to put in the words, but it was just like, all of a sudden there was these teenagers that would be at this dance, which is fairly taboo in that day. I know it's hard for us to comprehend, but it was at this dance where all of a sudden the presence of God was so thick in the room, so tangible, that they just turned to Jesus, that they became Christians on the spot. They didn't need to come into a church building. And there's stories of just churches being packed full and even buses being loaded up with people going to a church meeting, going to a church meeting. And even before they got there, they said, hey, bus driver, can you stop? And they got out of the bus and they just repented and became Christians before they were even in the church service. I want that for Canada. I want that for me. I don't want to just have same old, same old. And what I find unique about this season is right when COVID hit and we had to close the school in March, and I'm sure you guys are similar in terms of timeline, I just remember there's so many people that I love and respect who I trust. I trust their voice. I trust that they know God's voice, and they certainly know his word. That they said, like, this is an opportunity for us to get our hearts right with Jesus. This is an opportunity for the church in Canada to just reevaluate, what are we doing? What's working? What's not working? And the truth is this, like, we need his Spirit again. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not just for Essen, but I want this for Rosetown. I want this for Kindersley. I want this for Saskatoon. I want this for every community. But it starts with you and I. And so maybe you're here today, or maybe you're watching, and maybe you have pain in your body. We would love to pray for you, that you'd be set free. Maybe a pain in your heart. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to be set free. And I can't promise you that you'll be completely free of stuff in your heart this morning, but I can promise you that this is a great morning to start. This is a great morning to say, God, I say yes to you. I just say, just like the jailer at the end of that story, I'm like, yeah, God, I'm in. I just want to make my heart right. And this is a great moment. This is a great moment to start. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to invite Dave back up, and they'll give us further instructions. But you have your home this morning. If you have any physical pain in your body, I just pray that you're healed in Jesus' name. I just know I don't need to be there. None of us need to be there for you to be set free this morning. And if you are, I would love it if you told Pastor Dave, because I'd love to hear those stories. Now, if you have any pain in your heart, I would just love that. Just know the Holy Spirit, you'd come right now and you set people free. That they know your love, they know your joy, they know your peace, God. That they wouldn't be in the wilderness anymore, that they'd be, they know you as the promised land. That anything that's blocking their hearts, God, that there would be freedom in Jesus' name. God, I ask for us here this morning that your Spirit would come. That even as I'm talking, God, I just ask you just highlight those areas. Like, hey, listen, you've been holding on to this. Your heart's still stuck in the wilderness in this area. That Holy Spirit, you'd bring freedom in Jesus' name. And God, just like you did in the Hebrides, I ask, Lord, that there just be a move in your Spirit in Rosetown and Eston and Saskatchewan and Canada, Lord. Because we need your Spirit, Lord. We need to pour your Spirit again. God, I ask that you just stir up hunger for us, God, that we'd press in like the Smith sisters and those pastors did. And God, we wouldn't give up when it's hard or maybe when it's slightly boring, but we'd keep pressing in until you pour your Spirit once again. We just ask this in your name, Lord. So even right now, God, we'd ask your Spirit be poured out. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks, Brian. Guys, we're gonna give a moment like we do every week as well right now. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, for those of you watching online or those of you here at church, and you don't know the freedom that Brian was talking about, we want to give you an opportunity to know that freedom. And we do this every week. So if you're in a group, if you're in a room, and you already know Jesus, that's awesome. We celebrate with you. If you want to maybe want to rededicate your life, maybe you haven't been walking the way that he's called us to walk, and maybe you haven't been living that life of purity, maybe there's something that you need to repent of, we're going to give you an opportunity to repent right now and just accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to cross the line from knowing about Jesus or maybe knowing who Jesus is to actually knowing Jesus and being infilled with the Spirit. And we want to give you that opportunity. So if that's you, if you know Jesus and you're good, great, awesome. But we want you to join us as we pray together, repeating after me. And we just have a simple prayer. And if you're in that category that doesn't know Jesus or wants to rededicate your life to Jesus, we're excited for you. We celebrate that with you as well. So we're going to ask you to repeat after what I say. Repeat the lines after I say it. You know what I'm saying? Just repeat after me. So if you know Jesus, repeat after me, because maybe there's somebody in the room with you that isn't there yet. And we want people to feel comfortable. We don't want people to feel singled out. And then after that, what I'd love you to do is comment on our Facebook, comment on our YouTube, and just say, hey, that's me. And I'd love to high five with you. I'd love to, it could be an air high five virtually if you're somewhere else. But I want to give you a Bible. We have Bibles to give away. And if you're not from Rosetown, we want to connect you to a good Bible-based church wherever you may be. And if you're from Rosetown, we want to set up an opportunity to connect and get you here or have you continue watching online, but give you the tool of the Bible so you have it in your hand so you can just read about Jesus and this life he's promised us, okay? So would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to earth and dying for my sins. God, thank you for sending Jesus for me. And thank you for loving me before I even knew you. Jesus, connect me with people who can help me walk closer to you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, if you pray that prayer for the first time, if you rededicated your life, call me at the church, 306-882-2453. It's on the message on Facebook. It's on the message in YouTube. Read it. Call me. Email me. Message me. Whatever you need, just connect with me. I want to connect with you guys. Let's pray, and let's get you on your way. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Eston team, for coming. We're so glad to have had you here. And like Brian said, if you're asking for healing online and you need a healing, connect with me, and I'd love to just pray with you. And we believe in healings at this church. We believe that every promise that's in Scripture is for us today. Amen? And that's how we walk, and that's how we live. And we want you to walk and live like that, because that is a life of freedom, isn't it? Let's pray. God, we thank you for each and every individual who is watching online, for every individual who's here in church, joining us for Sunday church today. God, we pray that they will have been impacted, that their lives will be renewed and restored, Father, and we just are excited for the work that you are doing here, God. Holy Spirit, just continue to activate us in our lives and just connect us with people so we can share the good news of Jesus. Father, I pray that we'll have a great week and have opportunities to connect with people and tell them about the love of Jesus. Tell them about the love of God and that we can share the impact that you have had in our lives. So God, give us a great week. Lead us, guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Have a great week.